Today is Trinity Sunday. It's also Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all of the fathers of the parish. This Wednesday is awards night at St. Pius V School. It will take place at the school at 7:30 p.m. And all students must arrive in complete uniform by 7 p.m. So parents, make note of that. Complete uniform for the students this Wednesday evening for awards night. The students to arrive at school by 7. Awards night takes place at 7:30 at the school. The following day, Thursday, is June 20th, is the Feast of Corpus Christi. Here at the church, we will have a 7 p.m. Mass, followed by a candlelight procession in honor of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We carry our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, actually, under the canopy in procession, showing our faith in the Blessed Sacrament and the real presence of our Lord. So please do show your gratitude for this great gift of the Blessed Sacrament and make an appointment on your calendar, so to speak, for Thursday evening, Corpus Christi, 7 p.m. here at the church. All 8th grade and 12th grade graduates are required to attend the graduation practice that will take place on Friday morning at school. That will take place at 9:30 a.m. at the school this Friday. Also, graduation is the following day, Saturday. It will be at 10 o'clock Mass, and following the Mass will be graduation at the school. Family and friends are invited to attend the Mass and, of course, the graduation and the luncheon that will follow. Also, please note, 2 weeks from today, beginning June 30th, we will begin our summer Mass schedule. That will be, the Masses will be at 7, 8:30, and 10. So that starts on June 30th, 2 weeks from today. The epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches and of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. To him be glory forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Throughout the year, we learn many things about the nature and the attributes of Almighty God. We realize in some way the qualities which are referred to each of the three divine persons separately. And therefore, Holy Mother, the Church begins, as it were, today, the Sunday after Pentecost, to teach us some of the wonderful truths of our faith, which, according to the promise of our divine Redeemer, are shown to us by the Holy Ghost, who teaches all things and brings all things to our mind. And naturally, Holy Mother, the Church starts today with the greatest and the most incomprehensible mystery of our faith, the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three divine persons in one God in three divine persons. During the holy season of Advent and Christmas, we were acquainted with the infinite love and the infinite goodness of God the Father, who, having created man in his own living image and likeness, and then been offended by man, nevertheless offered man the privilege of forgiveness by sending his only divine Son to pay the price of redemption. And then during the weeks commemorating the chief events of the life of our Lord, we were shown the love of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory, as it were, of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth, as St. John says in his Gospel. And during Pentecost, which we just celebrated last Sunday, we were shown the wonderful love of God in the regenerating, the sanctifying, the strengthening influence of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of love, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. It's the most appropriate, then, that Holy Mother, the Church, should now have us consider something of the nature, the attributes of the triune God. And the consideration is most necessary Because without an explicit knowledge of the Holy Trinity, an explicit belief in its truth as a true article of our holy faith, we cannot be saved. The one and only true God. The God who has revealed Himself to the world. Many people in the world say, well, we all believe in the same God, so it's okay. We do not believe in the same God. We believe in a God who is three persons in one God. We believe in a God who is just and merciful. The Protestants do not believe in a just God. The Protestants believe that if you do evil, you will not be punished. But if you believe only, you will go to heaven. Where is the justice of God? The foundation of our belief, the distinguishing mark of Catholicism, because it intimately concerns the very nature of Almighty God Himself. Of all of the mysteries of our faith, this is the most incomprehensible to our reason. And Holy Mother, the Church, in humble and reverent faith, adores with a lively faith, a firm hope, and an ardent charity, these three divine persons. Almighty God revealed Himself in many ways to His once chosen people in the Old Testament, but He never deigned to reveal completely, only in a general way, and to only a few, about the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. This is a privilege of the Blessed Trinity to know God for the New Testament. In the account of the Incarnation, St. Luke relates to us. He relates how the angel Gabriel came to the Blessed Mother. And if we read that account in the Sacred Scriptures, the Archangel Gabriel speaks of the Lord God. And then he continues, he says, the Son of the Most High. And then he says, and the Holy Ghost. Revealing of the three divine persons. At the baptism of Christ, St. Matthew tells us, Jesus being baptized forthwith came out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove coming upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Our Lord even gave to the apostles the commission to preach to the world, to preach and to teach. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Seeing the importance of this doctrine, our Holy Mother, the Church, is anxious to make sure that it is brought to our attention many times and as frequently as possible. The very first lesson that we teach to our children is the doctrine of the Blessed Trinity. Who made you? God made me. Is there but one God? Yes, there is but one God. How many persons are there in God? There are three persons in God, really distinct and equal in all things. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What do you mean by the Blessed Trinity? I mean three persons in one God. It's the first fundamental lesson children learn before they make their first communion. Even though we cannot understand it, the Church strives to help make our poor view less obscure. Some kind of illustration is attempted by the Fathers of the Church to help us to have a clear yet imperfect idea. The roots, the trunk, and the branches, they all make one tree. Three lamps that are lit in a room produce one light for that room. The powers of memory and understanding and will are found in one human rational soul. St. Patrick converted the pagan king of Ireland by showing him the triple leaf of the shamrock as a symbol of the Blessed Trinity. St. Augustine himself was trying to figure out some way to explain to the world, explain to his hearers, how do they understand the Blessed Trinity? And he's walking on the seashore one day, trying to contemplate a way for people to understand. He saw a little boy. The little boy had dug a hole in the sand on the beach. And he ran down with a bucket and he took water out of the ocean and he poured it into that hole. He didn't do this once. He did it again and again and again and again. St. Augustine stood there for a while in wonderment and said, went up to the little boy and said, son, what are you doing? The little boy says, see all that water out there? I'm going to take all that water and I'm going to put it in that hole. St. Augustine says, son, that's impossible. The little boy says, it's easier for me to do that than for you to explain the Blessed Trinity. That's how incomprehensible it is. And yet, it is a doctrine of our faith. To preserve us in the practice of the holy sentiments, faith, hope, and charity, and to remind us continually of the greatest and the holiest of all of our mysteries, Holy Mother, the Church, keeps constantly before our minds in her prayers the blessings and ceremonies, the separate invocation of the three divine persons. When we're made Catholics, children of God and heirs of heaven, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In confirmation, the same words are used to bring down upon us the graces of the Holy Ghost. In the sacred tribunal of penance, sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All objects, devotions, the relics of saints, the materials used by the Church's religious ceremonies, the very vestments of the sacred ministers, the very sacred ministers ourselves, and even we ourselves, are blessed by the Church in the very same formula. All of the Church's actions and prayers begin and end with the sign of the cross. When we come to our last day, we are delivered by the hands of the priest into the hands of God. Our bodies are laid to rest in blessed ground. We are dismissed from this life with the words, "Go ye in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." My dear faithful, let us have an act of devotion, a gratitude to the one and only true God, by acts of faith, hope, and charity. Every time we make the sign of the cross, we do make an act of faith, we make an act of hope, and we make an act of charity. That's why the sign of the cross is such a powerful prayer. And that's why the sign of the cross should always be made reverently and with the invocation of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As the Church announces, glory be to the Father who created us, that we might be happy with Him forever. Glory be to the Son who redeemed us by His most precious blood. And glory be to the Holy Ghost, whose temples we are, and who sanctifies by His grace and His abiding presence in us. In the word of St. Paul to the Romans today, to Him be glory forever. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.